sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, sitting here with Becky Ivins.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. we've got a good television day this evening. The Preakness is on.
Yeah, and then the Thunder.
And then the Thunder.
Yep.
So that's this evening, but we've got a lot to do in the meantime, don't we?
We do. We do. It is the time of the year that real estate is heating up, so weekends are working weekends, and it's a fun part of the year.
I get amazed at the title companies still. The title companies, when you're on your way out the door after you finish your closing on Friday, they're saying, have a great weekend.
Yeah,
and I'm going, you know what a weekend is for a realtor, right?
Yeah.
That means take a deep breath. The weekend's coming.
Yeah, people look. It's finally Friday. We can relax.
Yeah.
Not for our realtor friends there. Nope.
Not so much. Well, and our friend Dean Riddell, if he needs to, he works on weekends. He's at his office almost every Saturday morning.
Do you know what, Dean? I'm going to brag on you for a minute, because I was talking with a client that was talking about, like, hey, what's the difference in some of the big-name companies that do a lot of advertising and these local people? And I said, well, if we need a letter, a pre-approval letter changed, or we need something done at night and weekends, SWBC is going to get it done. Some of these national, you're calling someone in another state somewhere that's having their nice weekend.
Right. Well, not that everybody should have to work on the weekend.
But in real estate, you should have someone available.
Somebody should be available.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So our guest today, Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, guys.
And do you have your number memorized?
196-895.
That's NL.
I will never let that go, Becky.
Okay. Well, we can't let that go, because that's regulation, right? I'm going to ask you some stuff today that you might not be as prepared for as typical. You're like going, no, no. But you know it right off the top of your head. Okay. Our subject today is purchasing as is. I mean, as is. Everybody want, not everybody, but a lot of people want that bargain of buying an as is property. And there's some regulations on a conforming loan that some things just can't be as is. So that's what we're talking about today. And we can get right into it, but we want to invite you to call.
Yeah, if you are listening through the live radio program on a Saturday morning, the number is 405-840-1000, 405-840-1000. Reminder, you can also listen by Spotify or iTunes or the iHeartMedia app. You can subscribe if you're listening by that. We're so glad you're listening. But you can't call in.
Oh, true.
Because it's not live.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, let's liven it up. Okay. We're on to our subject of the day, purchasing as is. First of all, we need to – you've read our real estate contract.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you have to abide by the terms of the contract,
totally,
right? Our contract – most people don't realize, most realtors don't realize, our contract is as is.
Right.
There's no repair cap in there like there used to be. Repair allowance, the seller has agreed up front to pay. Mm-hmm. It is as is.
Right.
The buyer has a right to do investigations, inspections, and reviews. Now, investigations, what would that kind of... Well, inspections.
Inspections are what people use the term most often, which can mean a professional inspection.
Most of the time it does mean,
and we encourage every buyer that we have to get it professionally inspected. In the state of Oklahoma, that is a licensed person. There is a state license that oversees that. But according to the contract, inspections can deem just about anything that the buyer deems it to be. Like, for example, if they have a crazy Uncle Fred that they think is an expert drywaller and they want them to see all the drywall and give them all the what to's of the corners and the windows, if you're the buyer,
you get to choose.
You get to choose who does the inspection.
You don't get to choose to disassemble mechanical items or in the home or to like
crazy Uncle Fred cannot drill a hole in the wall
right
to look to see what the wall insulation is.
And sometimes you're allowed to do that if you ask permission.
If you have permission
in writing,
yeah,
and get it approved by the
right
person that actually owns the property.
Yep.
Right.
That's
so investigations are more like
HOA. That'd be review also.
Yeah, well, I would say HOA might be a review because you have to review the bylaws, the budget, mm-hmm, everything that goes along with it. You review the title on the property with a title opinion. You review the survey or the mortgage inspection certificate to see if there's a pipeline running across your property.
I'll tell you the big investigating one.
What?
That is, I get asked this question all the time. Is this a safe neighborhood?
Oh, well, there you go.
I get asked that all the time. And that is a personal preference.
Well.
But during the investigation time period, you can look up crime records. You can look up
right
whether there's a predator in the registered predator in the neighborhood. That's a big one that a lot of people should have investigated.
You know, I often get the question also, is this a safe neighborhood?
Yeah.
And I come back, I usually answer a question with a question, and I'll go, well, that depends. Are you talking about safe for the predator or the victim? Because some neighborhoods aren't too safe for the criminals.
Especially in Oklahoma.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I ask people, like, what do they mean by safe? What does that mean to you?
Right. Well, and we don't do that investigation for them. We
no, that end is, up, yep.
So that's something that you can review. You can review floodplains, sewer backups. You can review an awful lot of stuff and investigate whether or not it has termites or has been treated for termites, that kind of thing.
Right.
So what of what we have talked about, Dean Riddell, is a stopper for you, the lender, and you're not going to allow us to, we can proceed with the purchase, but not with your money, right?
And this is a great subject because I think, you know, the listeners need to understand the lender does not require an inspection that you're referring to.
And the lender does not get an inspection.
No.
Even when you have the inspection, you don't turn it over to the lender.
Right, right. Because we don't need it. We're not party. It's not part of our cost. It's not a closing cost item from a buyer's side because we don't require one. I echo what Mark says tenfold. If you're buying a new house, old house, you're buying it from crazy Uncle Fred, whoever it may be, get a home inspection because you need to. But the part that we throw the curveball at is there's a difference of a home inspection versus what it's an appraisal requirement. So if that appraiser, the inspection is cites 15 things, but the consumer's fine with it, and the seller loves it because the home inspection was fine, but yet our appraiser goes out there, and it's an FHA appraisal regardless, and he says, you know, there's cracks in that northeast corner of the house. We need a structural inspection. And a lot of times, Becky, that's where I get the pushback from the agents is, but Dean, they're buying it as is. I understand. It never excludes safety, soundness, mechanical, electrical, plumbing. If those items arrive.
Watertight.
Arise to that appraisal.
Yeah.
We've got to address it. So,
okay.
There is lots that go into it. There's lots of confusion that happens over who is the one that gets to answer and who pays for what. And we'll talk about it when we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move right here, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are here with Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. And if you want to call in and be a part of the conversation, the number is 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. Dean, let's start with the difference between an appraisal and an inspection. Because sometimes, I mean, often a buyer gets confused. I've had realtors get confused by what is the role of each. What's the difference between an appraisal and an inspection?
Well, on that appraisal piece, they are, whether it be a conventional loan, that appraiser has to appraise that subject property from a comparable property, you know, value, square footage, measuring, mm-hmm. to make sure that sales price of $300,000 is, you know, called for within that neighborhood, you know, that distance, that there are comparable properties. That VA and FHA appraisal, I'll always say, is more, let's speak of the VA appraisal, it is more VA-friendly, specific, protected.
They're looking out for the veteran. Becky,
for the veteran.
You bet. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, and I could argue that on the FHA side, because the FHA side was created for who? First-time buyers.
Right. Yeah.
They're not limited to first-time buyers, but when FHA came about, it was for that young buyer, young on the job, just out of college, $1.98 in the bank. Yeah, you just didn't have a lot of depth. Well, that FHA appraisal in the old days, if you remember, Becky.
Oh, I do remember. You had to have the, definitely. In fact, now you have to have the utilities on in order to get an appraisal done, because they check the basic things. They make sure that there is water coming out of the mm-hmm. faucet, mm-hmm. that lights come on, that kind of thing.
But it's not as critiqued today as it was right. 40 years ago. Yeah. But my point being is, the FHA VA appraiser is going to make sure A value is fine, but they're also looking for structural concerns. And they're not a roofer, but if they see issues in the roof,
yeah,
you know, if there's a sagging on the northeast corner, they're going to call for a roofing inspection to be done. We get pushback because it's as is. Or there's settlement on the northeast corner, there's a quarter inch gap in the brick and the mortar. That appraiser is going to cite that. He's not a structural engineer, but he is citing things with regard to the property that take a deeper look.
Well, and the buyer, of course, wants the property to be safe and sound. Mm-hmm. The lender wants the property to be safe mm-hmm. and sound and to withstand the life of the mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why sometimes they require you to paint raw wood on the outside mm-hmm. of the house, because raw wood rots. Mm-hmm. It needs to be covered with something or oiled or whatever the product is. But it cannot just be raw, untreated wood out there in the elements, especially in Oklahoma.
On the government side, the FHA VA loans, you know it right now. It'll be cited. It'll have to be done by seller prior to closing.
Right.
The difference in that in a conventional appraisal, conforming Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, it is in more so the as-is family.
Right.
That raw wood doesn't have to be painted. But if there are safety, soundness, mechanical, electrical, plumbing issues that the appraiser cites, those have to be addressed.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the biggest things that if it just would keep clear with everyone involved between difference between appraisal and inspection is to whom each reports to and whom hired. Because an appraiser is hired by a lender mm-hmm. all the time or nearly all the time. Unless it's cash, then the buyer could be ordering an appraisal. But otherwise, the lender, and so the appraiser works on behalf of the lender, making sure And I always tell buyers what the lender wants to know is, if you don't make any payment from day one, how much are they on the hook for?
Mm-hmm. And that's an incredible point. But that you can apply that on the financial side.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a vet to make sure financially they're solid.
Right.
We're doing that appraisal
yep.
to make sure that asset is worth $300,000. I mean, and the quality is there too. From a safety, soundness, mechanical, electrical, plumbing.
That's it. And then
and comparable properties, too.
Right. And on the other side of the ledger, the inspector works for the buyer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big part that sometimes realtors can step over the line of going, I'm not a party between the inspector and the buyer. I just provide services and expertise to help guide that buyer. But the agreement for the inspection of what's going to be inspected, how it's going to, and the report belongs to the buyer, doesn't belong to the realtor.
Right. And sometimes folks forget that there are, it's more than their credit that goes to the underwriter. The underwriter has three major components that they require to be put together. It is the buyer's credit, the borrower's credit. Mm-hmm. It is the title. They need to be sure there's clear title to the property before they agree to loan the money. And then the third component?
Collateral. The house.
The house.
The
yeah, the house has to appraise for enough money, has to be a safe and sound home without any major defects in it, even if you're buying as is. So what do you do if you've negotiated a really good price because it's as is, right? The buyer is offering $285,000 for this listing that was listed for, say, $210,000. But they say, I'm buying it as is. And I know it needs a roof. But I'm going to pay $185,000. The seller agrees to that and then goes to get a mortgage on the property. Can you loan on something that has a roof that's not watertight?
Right. And Becky, that is where the on this station we talk about conforming lenders, we talk about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, we talk about FHA, VA. And in that scenario, and that happens, and that'll happen again soon because they're out there. That is where I refer to people calling their bank and doing a in-house portfolio loan where they can wrap up some of the cost of the repairs because it doesn't fit in SWBC conforming lender box.
Right.
Because of the roof issues that you just cited or the structural issues that exist. But that doesn't mean it's not a good buy.
Right.
They just have to find that financing tool, which may be their in-house bank. You know, we have a renovation loan that gets, you know, we can talk about that on some other time.
Are you still doing the, what's it called, FHA
203K, and Fannie Mae has a renovation loan where you're taking the sales price plus the repairs. It has to appraise for whatever that is, you know. It
has to appraise for the purchase price plus
the repairs.
The amount of repairs.
You know, there's the oddities today, and this is where it happens, it seems, more than not, is Mark is a buyer. Mark has a great deal at $185,000 or $75,000 worth of repairs, you know. So we've got to make sure it's going to appraise for $260,000. But then you throw me the curveball and you go, my uncle is going to be the contractor. Well, when you get into that renovation, not crazy Uncle Fred, but your uncle.
Yeah.
But when you get into the 203Ks and the renovation loans, no family member can be the general contractor for that work being done.
Arm's length transaction.
Arm's length transaction.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Right.
And so back to your question, Becky, there are portfolio loans that banks can do that maybe incorporate repairs. Because I will argue it's a good deal they're getting.
Right. But they're typically not going to get 100% loan. I mean, you've got to have some money down in order to get a bank portfolio loan typically.
And if today's rates with me are 7, it may be at 7.5.
Right.
8%. Why? Because they don't fit in that box, guys.
And it's a higher risk
it's
loan.
It's a higher risk loan, Becky.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Great question. And one other thing that, today's climate of foreclosures, people say, and their 25-year-old buyer says, I want to buy a foreclosure. Well, I can really write it down. They heard that from their parents who, 30 years ago, a foreclosure in Oklahoma City, guys, there was a bunch, but they were also move-in ready. Today's definition of foreclosed properties isn't the same as it was in the 80s.
Yeah. Right. For sure.
You know, seriously, because the dishwasher's gone and the ceiling fans are yanked out of the ceiling. I mean, it's not the same environment.
Well, typically, homeowners will stop making repairs on their home before they stop making payments.
Great point.
Yeah.
And that is what you need is a good repaired home, or you need a big bankroll. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So one of the things when we walk into a listing, we always look at, does this person have the right to sell the home?
Right.
That's number one. Number two, one of the questions we always ask, or we're thinking as kind of real estate experts, is would this house qualify for a loan? Or do you need to sell it cash only?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that when we come back right after the break here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guest, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. And it is time for our Word of the Day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Our word of the day is conforming.
I'm not conforming to this.
I know, right? But conforming loans are different than just a loan. Conforming loans have to meet a certain underwriting guidelines, such as Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, and they cannot exceed the loan limit. There's a conforming loan limit. So you can buy a house for $1,200,000 and still get an FHA loan, right?
You have to put a fortune down.
You have to put a fortune down because each one of these loan products has a maximum loan. Now, this will tell you how old I am. When I first went into the business, the VA eligibility or loan amount, I think it was eligibility possibly.
That's right, eligibility.
Was $27,500. Yeah, yeah. Now, that did not mean that the house was that because you get times your eligibility limit on a VA loan. So you could still buy – the average house was about $70,000 back then.
That's what I
– maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
My first job out of college, I got paid $24,500, and I thought it was just the most fantastic thing ever.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, $24,500.
$24,500.
I remember what I made fresh out of college was $465 a month. But I got $30 cost of living or whatever they called it, the COLA. And that was as a college graduate social worker. So it didn't take me – well, it did take me 5 years to figure that one out. To figure out that
– that you can continue doing social work, which is
– what we do.
What we do.
Yeah. And
but you get paid a little better.
Get paid proportionate to your effort and your skills. So
that's well put. According to your effort. Because we're in climates right now that if you're going to sit on the sidelines, Becky, you're making that $464 a month today.
I got paid slightly more than a incoming Army member, but I did not get my house, what's it called?
Allowance.
Basic housing allowance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't get that. So,
you know, on your conforming definition, you know, it ties to loan limit. But it ties into collateral, too, back to the property. Is it to do a conforming loan, which is inclusive of loan limit?
Right.
It's also loan type. So if it's a VA loan, it's got to be a conforming loan within that limit. Does the property meet what VA requires?
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Let's just say we sold a house and it does need a roof. And the buyer doesn't have the money to put on the new roof, but they've negotiated the as-is price. We'll go back to that 185.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The roof's going to cost $25,000. Remember when roofs were $2,500, Dean? We're just having all kinds of, wow, we can't believe things cost as much as they do. But the buyer doesn't have the cash to do it. So can you, after the appraisal's done and the appraiser says, hey, you're going to have to either put on a new roof or not get a loan, can you raise the value of your purchase price to cover the new roof?
Yeah, and you have to time that out. Everything has got to fall in place. But in answer to your question, yes. In order to close the loan, we've got to make sure we have evidence of insurance that farmer's insurance or whoever they're going through is going to insure that roof. Well, right. In that picture right there, farmers are going to say that roof is not insurable, which in essence means we can't close on that loan if that roof is not done, which will prompt one or two things, probably an escrow holdback where we can withhold some money because the seller doesn't want to repair the roof and they could file a claim.
Well, the thing is the seller doesn't have the 25 grand either.
Right.
But the seller can pay it out of proceeds of the sale,
right,
if you time things just right. And it's really like I have a program where I help pay for repairs to get a property ready for on the market. Okay. Now, am I going to do that if you owe 98% of what that house might sell for? No.
Right.
I did not just get dumped off a turnip truck yesterday. But if there's money in the proceeds of the sale, you can do repairs in conjunction with the sale.
Coordinate that together. Get the estimate from Robin's Roofing on what that estimate for the roof will be. Look at, you know, if the value's there, that's going to be easy, Becky, because you can in most cases incorporate that.
I'm going to ask you another question.
Yeah.
What recourse does a borrower have if the loan is called due because they cannot get insurance? You know, insurance companies have, I think it's 45 days. We'll have to ask Brad Russell that when he comes on. Yeah, they have a certain amount of time to go out and check out the roof. They will write your insurance without checking out the roof, but they can also cancel your insurance. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go get insurance somewhere else. Or your loan becomes due because you're not insured. So it's going to take a new roof to get that loan, to get the insurance.
So A, they're going to call the loan due.
Right.
Which is more apt to be is the forced place insurance that lenders put to insure that collateral.
Right. And which is like three or four times as more expensive than.
And covers zero of the contents.
Yeah.
Because we're not concerned about the contents, about the gun collection inside the house.
It doesn't cover theft or anything either. It's just a fire and extended coverage, kind of like for you get for rental property. Mm-hmm. But instead of it costing you $3,000 a year, it very likely will cost $10,000 or $11,000 or $12,000.
And I've had that scenario come up about once a year where we closed yesterday, Friday. Maybe there was the insurance company didn't go to the property to do an inspection. 3 weeks from now, that company goes out there and says, that roof's not insurable, which is the picture you're painting. They send that letter to the customer that says, you've got 30 days. We're canceling that policy because that roof's not insurable. I mean, guys, that's not a fun spot to be in for a consumer.
Well, because the insurance they're going to place on that, the mortgage company places on that, is going to cost you half as much as your roof would have cost.
But that buyer who may not have a lot of money.
Right.
And now has to find new insurance, and we know the roof is not what we think it is, and that premium may be a $6,000 number.
Right. So it's.
I mean that's dicey.
Well, and it happens.
It does, Becky.
Yes. So an appraiser does not always catch when a roof needs to be replaced because they don't crawl on the roof. They don't feel if there's soft spots to where the next heavy snow is going to cause it to weigh, know, to weight down the roof and maybe break a rafter or something.
It's all visual.
Right.
Because that appraiser, he's not up there. So if something catches his eye, no different than the gap in the brick and the mortar, you know, he's seeing it, but he's not a structural engineer inspector, and he's not a roofing inspector either.
And how about termites
and
mold, things that can destroy a house pretty quickly, but you've still got a mortgage on that house.
Right.
So does the mortgage company, I had someone in the Coronado area years ago that their house was truly eaten up with termites, and they wanted me to sell it because they were not, they just said, well, we quit making payments on it because it's got termites. I'm going, you don't get to quit making payments on your house because it has termites. And they said, well, we're going to have to use that to go rent something because we can't live here. And literally, like, you knock on the front door and the front door wobbles because the framing was just kind of like cardboard, corrugated. You could just squish it with your hand. That's the worst I've seen on termites, but it was throughout. Yep. You open a cabinet, and there were tunnels you could see behind the dishes on the sheetrock in almost every cabinet. I know.
Ooh.
Well, it seems like they would have known that something was wrong there. But
and on the financing side, FHA, VA, we require termite inspection. Conventional, you don't. So,
If you're a buyer.
But you're a buyer, you got to do that, Becky.
That would be a wise thing to do is to get a termite inspection.
Yep. And you know, I don't know how much time we have in this, but the flip properties that come up.
Right.
You know, I'll have a buyer that'll say, I don't need to do a home inspection, Dean. This house has been just turned upside down. It's beautiful. They've redone everything. And I push and push for that home inspection. Again, we don't require it as the lender, but it seems like a lot of times when properties are flipped, cosmetically everything is beautiful. Granite this, new fixtures here, new faucets here, but most don't address structural and roofing issues.
I got a story for that, and because it happened to me personally when we were looking. Everything looked great, looked beautiful. There was lots of piers, and the question was, were the walls still moving? And I'll tell you the story when we come back right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, no.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd, just west of Meridian, at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue, just north of Hefner Road.
Casa Perico just makes me water up ready for some food. I love that place. Okay, our smoking hot deal. I'm going to tell you sort of where this is located because it's one of those side streets that you don't know where it is. But I'm trying to find the address now. Okay, it is 2025 Heritage Park Drive. Now, this is near like 120th, 119th, something like that, and Penn.
And Penn. Yep.
On the east side. So you could eat at Casa Perico's every day
because
you'd be very close.
Yep.
This is a building that has 5,100 square feet, and it's got a dozen offices plus a central area.
So a commercial building.
It is commercial office building, and it's $690,000 or less than 136 per square foot. So that's a really good building. If you are looking for office space, don't rent. Buy your little office. It's hard to find one in that price range.
Yeah.
So anyway, give us a call. We will take you and show you the building. And that I don't expect that's going to last very long.
Nope. You can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings, and you'll see it right there, and you take a virtual tour for yourself.
Now, I want to tell you about one other property that is, we did the paperwork on it yesterday, and it goes on the market. I believe it will be Tuesday, possibly Wednesday of this week. But they're having an estate sale today.
Oh.
It's a big estate. Boy, talk about a stately home. This is an architecturally very beautiful home, and it sits on 5 acres, and it is near Hefner and Cemetery Road. So it's in Yukon, okay,
so
Yukon Schools.
North Yukon.
Yes, and it has a nice in-ground pool. It is a every room is – you don't get a small room in this house. Well, the sewing room is not as big as a bedroom, but almost – And so it's got three big bathrooms and three bedrooms plus a big home office. And it's on 5 acres, and it sits so high. The view, you can literally see Piedmont, Edmond, and Oklahoma City.
Wow.
It's the position so it you want if you're in the military. It's very high. You always want the high point. You can tell I have military kids sketch it. But – that one is going to go on the market for, I'm trying to think what we decided on that. We were talking about the 800s, and we ended up at $799. So it's a pretty good deal.
Sounds great. So we'll have it. So if that's ringing a bell for you, it's not going to be on the website yet. So just call the office, 405-722-3232.
And follow the estate sale signs, and you can walk through the house today.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're having an estate sale. Just tell them Becky sent you and said it was okay to come in. You might want to buy something, too.
Boy, for those, if you have not been out Hefner Road, that is a popular area. I mean, it is. There is.
Well, I mean, this is the area where Bob Funk's ranch is.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he's on Britton Road in the same area. And this guy owns some property that I've said are – you in Bob Funk's land, or is Bob Funk in your land? So, yeah, both of them very, very good, godly men, I will tell you. So, anyway, we're talking about buying as is. Mark started a story. He's going to finish it for us.
All right. So, my wife and I put an offer in on a house. We knew that it had piers, which... piers, so it had a dozen or more piers around it, which piers don't bother me if it has fixed the problem. If it is, so we hired a structural engineer to give us a report. So we did an inspection, and we also had a structural engineer knowing it had piering. And the structural engineer gave us a report and said, Mark, these walls are still moving. And they had just done, you know, they had done, piers had been done a while back, and then they added more piers. But they, and here's one of the things to think about when you're piers, is that sometimes they just go in and throw piers anywhere around it without an engineer's report. And so, therefore, he went, you need piers here, here, and here, and it still won't fix the problem because the land was actually bowing up underneath the garage.
And you guys really wanted that house.
Oh, it was beautiful. So it was one that had been redone. And so everything about the house was what we wanted in a house. It was beautiful.
Except for the foundation.
Except for, I didn't want a house on the move. I like radio on the, I like Oklahoma real estate on the move, but I don't want my real estate moving.
Well, that's like wanting to buy a car, but the frame's about to break.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So I remember that because I looked at that and I was going, Mark, you can't buy that house. Oh, but we it's been peered. We want to buy the house. It's beautiful. We love it. And I'm going, Mark, get David Gaskeb out there to look at that house. And you did.
Yeah, we got David out and gave us a report. And that's why you do the – it was worth every bit of the money we spent on it, on that report.
And buying that one would have been maybe it would have been okay. But if David Gaskeb,
that house never sold and became rental property.
Oh, well.
So the problem still exists.
There's more than one smart potential buyer out there then, right? So we're talking about purchasing property as is. And can you just buy it as is? And I thought I might add in there that just because you put in paragraph 13, which is the special provisions paragraph that is blank, and you write in there what special provisions you want, buyer is purchasing property as is. By the way, it doesn't matter if you're getting a loan, because your lender is not going to loan the money as is most of the time.
Right.
If there's fault
right.
to the property. But sometimes there's no flaws in a property. The seller just doesn't have the cash resources to fix it. They don't know who to call to fix it, that kind of thing.
I agree.
So in that case, I mean, it may be just fine to buy as is.
You can be, but I think you got to lean on the two of you. You got to lean on your lender and say, does this fit into that box? And if not, where can you point and guide me? Because it may be a bank portfolio loan that they do, which is not a bad thing. Your rate's going to be higher, probably. But it may fall into that renovation loan family, which is okay.
Well, and buying as is typically costs you less money.
Right, right.
I've got every seller that I list their property wants to sell their property as is. I'm going, if you see something as is, what do you think? Well, there's probably something wrong with it. I said, right. Nothing wrong with your house, right? No. Well, I said, don't try to sell it as is. Dean Riddell, we thank you very much. You're always a lot of information for us. And before Jim Ivins sings us out, I want to remind you guys that we had high winds this week. Call Robbins Roofing, 728-3700, because it's more than just hail that damages your property. We'll see you here next week.
Right here in Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
May the Lord always watch over you, and may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true.